It is Monday, and here on The Takeaway, that means we talk about family. And today, a really hot topic, one that has become increasingly politicized and polarizing among moms and health advocates. And that topic, of course, is breastfeeding.
You know, it's a big issue in our house. I mean, that's what's going on.
Dare I ask?
Yes. Well, no, we are a breastfeeding household.
Well, you have a new baby and indeed. A new-ish baby. And
we've got the pump. We've got the whole thing.
So you're doing it. Well, then you know what the issues are. Over the past two decades, the mantra has been breast is best, particularly among college-educated women and older mothers. But now, John, the pendulum may be swinging back to formula is fine.
Well, there are management issues with the breastfeeding. Where I mean, it may feel good to have that sort of bonding with the baby, but managing that and staying connected to the baby on basically a two-hour tether for 24/7, I mean, is really, really difficult.
And, of course, as you know, and as moms I bet most of our – well, moms do need a break, but as most of our listeners no doubt know, the benefits of breastfeeding have been – touted as doing everything from preventing obesity to improving IQ.
Right. Immune system.
Immune system being primary. However, lots of women have said, as you just pointed out, number one, it's painful. Number two, it complicates life in a way. I don't mean that in a flip way, but that it doesn't always work. In any event, let's talk about that now. With Dr. Phyllis Rippey-Young, she is assistant professor of sociology at Acadia University in Nova Scotia, Canada, and she is co-author of a working paper on the economic consequences of breastfeeding, something we haven't thought about before. Dr. Rippey-Young, welcome to you.
Thank you. Well, I'm glad to be here.
Great. Now, the paper you're co-authoring indicates that all the stuff John and I have been talking about, it may be more than just stressful and guilt-laden for some mothers. Breastfeeding may also have potentially negative economic consequences. What are they?
Well, we don't find that there's an impact of breastfeeding on earnings for those who breastfeed for less than 6 months. But there is a significant and large impact for those who do it for 6 months or longer, which is how long women are recommended to do it. So these women's earnings are mostly affected because they either stop working or they move to part-time work. But my co-author, Mary Noonan, and I are only able to examine the impact of breastfeeding for those women who go ahead and actually breastfeed. It's highly possible that many of the women who do not breastfeed choose not to because they know they wouldn't be able to combine full-time work and breastfeeding, and they can't afford to quit work or they don't want to jeopardize their careers, so it may be that the average impact would be even larger than we observe in our sample.
Okay, but wait a minute. Yeah. You're saying that there's an economic downturn because the women are not available to go back to work sooner, but what about the benefits, the economic benefits? I mean, you don't have to pay for formula if
it's
you breastfeed.
Expensive stuff.
Absolutely, and we're not doing a full cost-benefit analysis, so it's very possible that that there are other economic benefits, like not having to pay for formula and all that stuff. But it's also the case that if breastfeeding were normalized, and if breastfeeding were normalized in a way to make it possible for women to carry out breastfeeding, there could be no impact at all.
Well, really, that's what surprises me, because I would have thought that workplaces are much more flexible on the issue of breastfeeding at work. But you're saying the data shows that maybe that's not the case.
No, absolutely not. I would say that despite all these exhortations for women to breastfeed, it's absolutely the case that most American employers are highly unsupportive of breastfeeding. And that really, if we want people to breastfeed because people claim that there are these health benefits to it, there needs to be more questions asked, like why aren't there publicly available lactation stations? Why isn't there publicly available daycare or contributions to pensions? Because these economic penalties, they aren't just about women not being able to take vacations or having enough pocket money. But this means that women are going to have less money to put into their pensions, to put into savings, which has an impact if they're to be widowed or divorced or something happens to them.
Let's, I know, Dr. Rippey-Young, that you have focused on the economic aspects of this, but I wonder if in your research you have come across the political aspects of it as well. I mean, there are groups out there who don't want to hear that maybe formula is fine.
Well, and we're not saying the formula is fine. We're not saying really what any woman should do. I think that every woman needs to make decisions about their lives in ways that make sense for them. But I think that what people should be taking away from this message is not that formula is fine, but that women should be getting angry that no matter what decision they make about breastfeeding, whether they do it or not, but they're being penalized, either financially or they're being told that they're bad mothers. And there's something wrong with that picture.
excuse me. What about the economic cost of breastfeeding itself? All that equipment is expensive, right?
Sure. sure, there are costs for breastfeeding like that. And I think that that needs to be taken into account in terms of what we're asking of women. That if
I mean, we're talking about pumps.
We're talking about
pumps and things like that, correct?
Right. But again, we don't do a cost-benefit analysis of all of those things. We're only looking at women's earnings over time.
When you say that employers should be doing something more about this, do you believe there should – well, of course, you're in Canada. You're not in the States. But do you believe there should be legislation, or is this something that employers simply ought to be doing on their own?
I think that there has to be legislation. I think that without legislation, employers are not going to be doing it on their own. And so I know that Representative Carolyn Maloney has a breastfeeding bill, and I think that that needs to be supported. But again, I'm not telling women what they should do. I'm not trying to tell women that they should breastfeed or that they shouldn't breastfeed. But if we're going to be, if women are going to be told that they're doing something wrong by not breastfeeding, then there needs to be something put in place so that women aren't penalized when they do what they're told that they're supposed to be doing.
And this will only keep the argument going and make it an even hotter topic. Dr. Phyllis Rippey-Young, Assistant Professor of Sociology at Acadia University in Nova Scotia. Thanks very much for joining us. John?
Weigh in on that topic or anything on the program. You can also re-listen to anything at thetakeaway.org. And while you're at our site, get your take. We want to get your take on the census, from why it's important to why some communities are shrinking, and also the further adventures.
The further adventures of Larry Cogswell, official census taker. He is America.
Census taking is America. So call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post to our site, thetakeaway.org. Do you see population shifts in your community? Tell us. Be our eyes on the ground. And also, remember, you can help with the Takeaway t-shirt contest. That's all at our website. I'm John Hockenberry.
I'm Lynn Scher, in for Celeste Headlee.